the commercialization of childhood is a horrible thing in this country.
Well, Tom, I think I'm going to faint. We agree. Well, sure. I think really what the Hollywood My Hamper book is about is that you see so many celebrities trying to push, you know, their merchandise and their clothes and trying to, you know,
and their politics.
Well, you can't leave that out.
Yeah.
And saying, look, be like me, be like me. And really, I don't think children realize the mixed and sometimes damaging messages that they do get from these celebrities that they see on the screen.
But it even goes beyond that, doesn't it, Catherine? For example, a couple of years ago, 10 years ago, I optioned two novels that I'd written to a production company in Hollywood. And, you know, of every 10,000 books that get optioned, right, one gets made into a movie. Mine weren't one of those ones. But I saw behind the curtain. And one of the things that was told to me at that time was that if I would agree to have the screenplay, or frankly, I was told to me that it may even be out of my control, that if the lead character in the screenplay that was being written from one of the books smoked on screen, that they could get $100,000 in pre-production money, which then would make it possible to get the big bucks, the millions for the production money, because there's the three stages in developing a movie. And if secondary characters smoked, they could get $20,000-$25,000 per character. And, you know, this is rather upfront, although I was also told that, you know, this is kind of an inside secret in the industry. And I started noticing this was at least 10 years ago this happened. I started noticing people smoking on screen. And it's amazing to me. People smoke on screen in ways that they don't in real life. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the product placements, whether it's the tobacco industry or whether it's a can of Coke, or an Apple computer, whatever it may be, product placements have become absolutely ubiquitous in our movies, and they combine with this message of consumerism and more is better and all that kind of thing, and be like me, and it just seems like it has a destructive effect on our kids. I'm just curious why, in this message that I think we both agree on, as we're both parents, and my kids are all grown up, I don't think yours are, but you know, we both are concerned about the future of our kids in America, why just pick on the Democrats?
Well, I'm not just picking on the Democrats. In fact, I'm just satirizing some of the, you know, biggest stars in Hollywood. Britney Spears had at one point supported President Bush. I'm not sure what her support is now. But
she still does.
What I did was I picked people in those books, in the Hollywood My Hamper book, that really represent some of the bad messages that we're getting out of Hollywood. Obviously, I have friends that have daughters that are constantly battling with them to not walk around with their belly button bared and dress like Britney Spears. And I've had parents with kids as young as kindergarten have to go through that with these girls in kindergarten wanting to be like Britney Spears. You have Madonna, who, you know, obviously now everybody's supposed to say she's this wonderful mother, which is fine, but she has made millions in her career putting out a bunch of films. So, you know, it's not just picking on the Democrats. I don't even mention Democrat in my book.
Well, you've got a donkey on the front cover. You've got Barbara Streisand prominently featured.
Know, Tom,
it's Whoopi Goldberg's on the cover.
Sure, Tom, but where does a lot of the Democrats get their money from and all their fundraising? It's Hollywood. You know,
have you forgotten, Catherine, about Arnold Schwarzenegger and Charlton Heston? And I mean, there's no shortage of conservatives in Hollywood.
Well, there's a lot less conservatives than there are liberals in Hollywood. You know, it's. Look,
I'm not sure that would stand up to scrutiny.
If they are their closet conservatives, because you can see that.
Well, they're less outspoken because there's less of a need for them. I mean, you've got, you know, Limbaugh on 600 stations. There is a very loud conservative voice in America.
Sure, but I'm not talking about radio hosts in the book. I'm talking about these Hollywood celebrities, you know, acting like buffoons and giving damaging and mixed messages to our kids. That's the point of the Hollywood My Hamper book.
Okay, well, as I said, in that regard, although, as I said, I think that spinning this politically, and maybe that's what you had to do to sell the book. I don't know, but it seems like a little bit of a cheap shot for what could be, I think, a really important message.
It is an important message. You know, at the beginning of in the Hollywood My Hamper book, it says another small lesson in conservatism.
Yeah.
And, of course, I had to take on some of those politicking, real loud celebrities out there. Nobody ever questions them. They can sit there and say what they want, but nobody ever questions them. I think you've got a lot of celebrities that are surrounded by people that tell them they're wonderful all day, and they have these overinflated egos that think that they know what's best for mainstream America.
I would suggest that they're being questioned constantly. All you have to do is turn on Fox News, and they are being hammered.
How many of them show up on the O'Reilly Factor?
I have no idea. I don't watch the program.
Very few, if any.
Okay. So, interesting book. We have 3 minutes left, and I wanted to bring up another topic with you. You and I talked about this briefly after our last program. Your experience with Mormonism. And the reason I raise this is because Charles Taylor was just busted in Africa. He was partners in a gold mine and a diamond mine with Pat Robertson. There is this unholy alliance, it seems, between some of the very wealthiest of the right-wingers in the Christian movement in the United States and some unsavory elements. And I've been noticing a lot of stuff coming out of Salt Lake City and out of Utah. Orrin Hatch, really being an advocate for some very, very conservative causes. What's your take on the Mormon religion?
Well, because I don't have any experience in Mormonism. I'm a Roman Catholic.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you said for experience in Mormonism. That's maybe you thought of some other.
I must be.
Other one, because I'm a Catholic.
I'm sorry. I'm mixing you up with somebody else.
That's okay.
So let's get back to your book then, Help Mom, Hollywood in My Hamper. Why not write a book that talks about the commercialization of childhood rather than picking on the celebrities? Aren't the celebrities the face of this rather than the background of it?
Well, there's plenty of topics out there for Help Mom books. I wanted to talk about the damaging and mixed messages that kids get from celebrities. I would like to take on the big professional athletes and some of the ways that they behave that are damaging messages.
But these celebrities could not be functioning, and for that matter, the professional athletes, if there weren't some very, very large and frankly very conservative corporations who are putting their faces on TV and in the movies.
Well, and what happens is if you look at, for example, the last 5 big picture nominees for the Oscars, the American people, mainstream America, are voting with their pocketbooks, and they need to continue to do that. I will never see a movie with George Clooney or Alec Baldwin in it, no matter how it's heralded, or I won't see one about gay shepherds. So, I mean, it's really up to the American people and these parents to be able to teach their children that just because celebrities do all these wonderful things, and they're so glorified on the screen or in the tabloids.
But isn't there a bigger issue? I mean, people are talking about the war on Christmas, for example. I think that there's a war on Christmas, and the war on Christmas is being led by marketers, by people who are selling, who want to sell things to our kids, and that's the big corporations in America. And it's not liberals, it's conservatives.
Well, for example, the war on Christmas, I mean, you have so many schools that change they don't even call it Christmas vacation, they call it winter solstice. You can't sing a Christmas carol, a traditional Christmas carol, in school programs. They don't even have Christmas plays, they're winter plays. So if you're talking about the war on Christmas, I think that's what many people are talking about, as opposed to, obviously, I don't enjoy seeing Christmas trees and all the decorations out in October. Obviously not. But again, that's up to Americans to vote with their pocketbooks.
So the people who have the most dollars have the most votes, and that's how you think it should be?
No. The people who have the dollars have the most votes. Listen, everybody's commercialist.
Well, that's the logic of vote with your pocketbook.
I don't have millions of dollars like a corporation, but there's a lot of people in mainstream America that refuse to see the movies that they've had, for the Oscars or whatnot. And if enough people just say, you know what, I'm not going to buy it, I'm not going to buy it, then it works out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the glory of capitalism.
Well, speaking,
the glory of competition.
Speaking as somebody who, through the 18 years that our kids were growing up, did not have a television in my home, I just have to say, I share some of your values with regard to this. I just think it's a tragedy that you went into gratuitous liberal bashing for the book.
Not liberal bashing. It's picking on the celebrities in there, and obviously
yeah.
There's a parody of Britney Spears in there as well.
Well, it's a start. Catherine DeBrecht. HelpMomBooks.com, the website. Catherine, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
16 minutes past the hour.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Oreck. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Oreck XL risk-free for 30 days.
The Bush-Cheney regime asserts that hundreds of captives it has stashed in the military prisons of Guantanamo Bay have no legal rights because, quote, these people are terrorists. Donnie Rumsfeld proclaimed the Gitmo prisoners to be the worst of the worst. So nearly 500 of them are still there, not by the authority of law, but by the autocratic dictate of Bush's imperial presidency. Swept up 4 years ago, the prisoners are being held indefinitely, with practically no access to lawyers and with no right to appeal their incarceration. It violates the U.S. Constitution and international law, but what the hell? They're terrorists, right? Well, some are, but it's now been revealed that a shameful number of these disappeared ones have no connection whatsoever to terrorism. The Bushites know this, but still hold them. Take Abdur Syed Rahman, a Pakistani villager who was taken from his small farm in 2002 and dumped into Guantanamo, accused of having been the deputy foreign minister of the deposed Taliban government. That Taliban official, however, is named Abdur Zahid Rahman. The poor captive, who's been kept locked up for 4 years, says, I am only a chicken farmer in Pakistan. Then there's an Afghan who denies being the former Taliban governor of a province there. He asked military officials at Guantanamo to contact the current governor of that province to verify his innocence. In a grotesque example of Catch-22, however, the military said it's up to the prisoner to produce such evidence. Excuse me, said the Afghan, but I'm held incommunicado in a U.S. cell in Cuba and not allowed to make calls. To which our military official said, write to them. He then ruled that the Afghan could not have his case reviewed for another year. This is Jim Hightower saying, by suspending the rule of law, the Bushites have become a regime of injustice. Remember, this is being done in our name, in the name of America.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. I'm not going to get into it. Welcome back to the program. It comes in hard and soft varieties with the hard or theocratic dominionists. This is an article over at publiceye.org by Frederick Clarkson. The hard or theocratic dominionists, a religious trend that arose in the 1970s as a series of small Christian movements that seek to establish a theocratic form of government. Is America at risk from a Christian Taliban? This, according to Political Research Associate Senior Analyst Chip Bartlett, the seminal form of hard dominionism is Christian Reconstructionism. This is a movement in the United States that wants to replace our secular government, that is a government of, by, and for we the people, with a system based on Old Testament law or Mosaic law. Now, we've seen the results of this just very recently in Afghanistan, where the Afghan constitution says that the highest authority in the land, the highest authority of all things, you know, talking about, you know, all, of all things, is Islam. And therefore, if somebody converts to Christianity, they can be put to death. Sam Brownback has introduced legislation, and he's not the only one, that could create the same kind of thing here in the United States. As Dr. Richard Land, a leader of the Southern Baptist Convention, says, the greatest threat to religious freedom in America are secular fundamentalists who want to ghettoize religious faith and make the wall of separation between church and state a prisoner, keeping religious voices out of political discourse. Well, actually, you know, all anybody is saying, frankly, is we have no problem with religious voices being in political discourse as long as they're not asking for a tax exemption. Go back and look at it. It's very straightforward. We decided a long time ago in the United States that religion was an important thing, just like caring for the poor was an important thing, that it serves some basic human function or some basic human need. And therefore, we said, you know, if that's what you're going to devote your life to religious work, you don't have to pay taxes. We'll pick up your share of the commons. We'll pay for your police protection. We'll pay for your fire department protection. We'll pay for the education of your children. We'll pay for all the things that your taxes would have paid for otherwise. But then you get the Jerry Falwells and the Pat Robertsons, the millionaires and billionaires of the world, of the Christian right. I mean, Pat Robertson started with $70 and sold Christian Broadcasting Network for a billion dollar enterprise, saying, well, we should be able to play in politics with our tax-free money. And what we've said is, you know, we'll give you a tax break, but in exchange for that, stay out of politics. And the reason is simple, because, you know, we're making an exception to the law for you, and so please don't mess in the law. Now, if you don't want to take the tax deduction, you can say anything you want. You can do anything you want. You can participate in politics any way you want. You can endorse any candidate you want. But as soon as you want that tax deduction, you could be in trouble if you want to participate in politics. It seems to me like a reasonable deal. It doesn't seem like a reasonable deal to the Dominionists, though. And what brings this to mind, as I said in my interview with Catherine DeBrecht just a moment ago, is that this whole issue of the right and this whole issue of are there, you know, how is Christianity, at what level are these guys operating? Here, Liberian warlord Charles Taylor arrested in Nigeria. Nigerian police arrested former Liberian warlord and president Charles Taylor yesterday as he tried to cross into Cameroon. 17-count indictment on war crimes for his role in the bloody decade-long civil war with Sierra Leone. Nowhere in that story in the New York Times or any other mainstream coverage of Charles Taylor is it mentioned that, you know, just some fundamental stuff here. You know, after Pat Robertson dropped his racehorse business in 2002 because he was outed about his $500,000 racehorse in the New York Times, which followed his 94 hustling of pancake recipes and nutritional stuff, he took a trip to Zaire and met with Mobutu Sese Seko, the dictator of Zaire. Member of the party said, Pat Robertson and Mobutu get along extremely well. Yeah. Well, so well that he got into a diamond mining.
Please tune back during broadcast hours.
Or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies, so I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Living wage campaigns for campus workers are a big part of this National Student Labor Week of Action. Deanne Foglizzo is with the Living Wage Action Coalition at Georgetown. She says unions are needed to make sure living wages are implemented.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of campuses and students are realizing that the importance of having a union to hold the university legally accountable to what it's saying. And definitely students at Georgetown are right now working on demanding that the university recognize the Georgetown workers' right to form a union.
The tomato farmers that waged a successful boycott of Taco Bell are now targeting the Golden Arches. Madison, Wisconsin was one of many sites around the country yesterday that saw Immokalee workers picket in front of both McDonald's and the McDonald's own Chipotle. In Wisconsin's capital, nearly 50 protesters, a mix of students, community activists, and farm workers, hoisted signs that said, "Sub-poverty wages make me grimace," and called for an end to slave wages. The hope is that McDonald's will pressure tomato suppliers to pay their workers 1 cent more per pound of picked tomatoes. In 2005, they convinced Taco Bell to raise what they paid workers from 40 cents per bucket to 72 cents. The workers are engaged in a week-long campaign.
Today is Delphi's deadline for an agreement with the UAW, IUE, CWA, and other unions on wage and benefits concessions demanded by the bankrupt auto parts supplier. The unions have rejected a demand to drive down wages by 39%. The IUE, CWA says Delphi is not bargaining in good faith, threatening to move in bankruptcy court to destroy its union contracts. The unions have said that that would mean a crippling strike that could also bring GM to a halt. Even if Delphi files to throw out the contracts, talks could continue for a few weeks before a decision by the judge.
More people power is in the works for the streets of Paris. French unions and students have called for more strikes next week to exert continued pressure on the administration of President Jacques Chirac. More than 1 million people have taken part in the historical protests over a new youth labor law that critics say could make it too easy for employers to fire young workers. And now here's Greg Gordon with a WIN Sports Report.
Minor league umpires plan to strike when the season starts next month and have filed an unfair labor practice charge with the National Labor Relations Board. The Association of Minor League Umpires, which represents about 220 umps, says the Professional Baseball Umpire Corporation threatened to fire employees who went on strike. The average ump salary at AAA, the highest minor league level, is $15,000 a year, while rookie league umps make less than $6,000. Minor league umpires unionized in 2000 and say they won't supply replacements to the major leagues during a strike.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
And who's gonna pay the bill? Who's gonna pay the bill? Not Rush Limbaugh, not George Will, not those chicken hawks on Capitol Hill, not the tax cut billionaires. You know the drill. You're gonna pay the bill.
And welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes past the hour. Yeah, in fact, the debt clock. The debt clock is concerned. They don't have room for another digit. And once we go from $9 trillion to $10 trillion, they're going to have to add one. What are they going to do? Anyhow, is America at risk from a Christian Taliban? I just want to wrap this up, and then we'll go to phone calls here. Our number is 866-440-8466, by the way. And if you'd like to drop into our live chat room, go to TomHartman.com and just click the live chat link. You can also participate in our message board over there as well, if you'd like, our blog. Six members of Congress live in a $1.1 million Capitol Hill townhouse subsidized by a secretive religious organization, tax records show. This is from Laura Jakes Jordan, the Associated Press. Representative Zach Womp, Bart Stupak, Democrat of Michigan, Jim DeMint, Republican of South Carolina, Womp is a Republican from Tennessee, Mike Doyle, Democrat from Pennsylvania, John Ensign, Republican from Nevada, and Sam Brownback, Republican from Kansas. And it's a home that is owned by a rather secretive conservative cult that organizes the National Prayer Breakfast, oddly enough. Even though they leave their name off the program, they spent $924,000 last year to make this thing happen, where the president shows up. And Brownback has introduced this thing into the United States Senate, the Constitution Restoration Act. This is the of 2005. It gets reintroduced year after year. And it says, Section 1260, matters not reviewable. Notwithstanding any other provision of this chapter, the Supreme Court shall not have jurisdiction to review by appeal, writ, or otherwise any matter concerning that entity's officers or agents' acknowledgement of God as the sovereign source of law, liberty, or government. God is the only source of law in the United States, according to this law that these dominionists like Sam Brownback of Kansas are putting forward. This was put forward by Shelby Burr and Brownback. In interpreting, again, reading from the law, Section 201, Interpretation of the Constitution, in interpreting and applying the Constitution of the United States, a court may not rely upon any Constitution law, upon any Constitution other than English constitutional and common law up to the time of the adoption of the Constitution of the United States. Now, keep in mind, England still has an official church. There is no separation of church and state in England. The Queen and the Prime Minister are the head of the Church of England, the heads of the Church of England, in the different respective roles. The Prime Minister, I believe, appoints the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the Queen is the official head of the church. As I recall, I'm not Episcopalian, so I can't speak with great authority on that. Anyhow, continuing the law, to the extent that... So they're saying that we can't even look at our own Constitution. The Supreme Court cannot even look at the Constitution of the United States for interpretation of the Constitution of the United States and can look at nothing since 1789, when the Constitution was ratified. It can only look at English constitutional and common law up until that time. And goes on to say, to the extent that a justice of the Supreme Court of the United States or any judge of any federal court engages in any activity that exceeds the jurisdiction of the court of that justice or judge, as the case may be, by reason of Section 1260. That's where it says God is the supreme source of law in the United States. They shall be deemed to constitute the commission of an offense for which the judge may be removed upon impeachment and conviction. I mean, this is spooky, spooky stuff. Spooky, spooky stuff. And Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and these guys, they're all out in the front of this thing. And one of the other things that concerns me is that one of the three largest voting machines in, manufacturing companies in the United States was started with money from a family that is part of the Dominionist movement. This being the company that Senator Chuck Hagel was the president of until he decided after he had sold this company's voting machines to the state of Nebraska, and all of the votes were going to be counted on this company's machine, and he decided then to step down from being head of the voting machine company, present himself to the citizens of Kansas as an investment banker and run for United States Senator and win in an overwhelming landslide. The surprise victory of the year is what the Washington Post called it. A Republican winning in districts that had never before voted Republican, overwhelmingly winning in, for example, African-American communities. Anyhow, we've covered a lot of territory here this morning. Bill in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind today?
Tom, thanks for recounting those facts about Pat Robertson. I just got a glimpse of that in Newsweek about 8 years ago. It was like a 100-word story, and you really fleshed out that story with details. I'm really, going back to your last guest, I'm incredulous that somebody would want to dog, say George Clooney, for instance, while letting in other media figures like Pat Robertson, just let him walk and not even want to take a look.
Well, and she's asking me if I watch O'Reilly. It's the last couple of times that I've glimpsed at Fox News, it seems like every opportunity they can get to throw jiggling boobs on, they do. It's Media Matters, in fact, has pointed this out, either Media Matters or the Center for American Progress, that Fox has become basically the place where they're constantly throwing sexual images out in a way, as a way of trying to get more viewers.
And if it's not sexual imagery, it's those ubiquitous product placements for Fox products.
Yeah.
Even touting Rupert Murdoch himself.
Yeah.
He's appeared as a cartoon character in his hit series The Simpsons. I love The Simpsons. It was funny. It was the only program I watched for quite a while. But I just got so sick of the product placement for Fox products that I just couldn't take it anymore.
Amazing.
And I think it's even Rupert Murdoch in his greed. He's compromised the quality of that show, which could be a classic for a long, long time,
yep,
by making short-term gains with product placements for shows that'll.
So now we're just stuck with South Park. That's the bottom line. It's just South Park. Bill, thanks a lot for the call. Good point. Kevin in Buford, Georgia. Hey, Kevin, what's on your mind today?
Good morning.
Good afternoon, actually, in Georgia, isn't it?
It's afternoon.
Yep.
Getting back to your last caller, it's morning for May. It's morning for
America. There you go.
She was a piece of work. It was really hard when she said, I wouldn't go to any movie with George Clooney. And I was saying she wouldn't want to teach her daughters the lesson of good night, good luck.
Yeah.
You know? She wouldn't want them to know that a bully senator can be taken down no matter how much afraid everyone is of him.
Yeah.
For his misstatements, his lies, his treachery, and she wouldn't want to teach him that lesson because George Clooney. To me, it's phenomenal that she would say that.
It's tragic, and that was my point. Is that there's actually a reasonably decent germ of truth and message in this children's book, although it's not a book that I would want to read to my children because. She has, Barbara Streisand come out and say, buy my Barbara Streisand products. I didn't know Barbara Streisand had any products.
I don't think the only product Barbara Streisand has is Barbara Streisand.
Right, right.
And the other thing that I thought was odd, I like Bruce Willis movies. Can't stand his politics.
Yeah.
But I enjoy them. They're fun escapism.
Yeah.
I like Charlton Heston movies. Can't stand his politics.
Yeah.
But, if they do a Green Beret movie, the Green Beret movie of the '60s,
mm-hmm,
and Bruce Willis wants to do one about Iraq,
mm-hmm,
I might just not boycott it, but I just wouldn't really be interested in it, you know? But I'm not going to boycott somebody because of their politics.
Yeah.
If they're fascist and they make fascist movies, then I might. But if they make fun shoot 'em ups or they make, you know, comedies or whatever.
Well, the whole idea of boycotting, I mean, boycotts need to be seen in the proper context. Cesar Chavez, when he was boycotting grapes in California.
Which I did.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that was the thing to do, right, in the early 70s and or the late 60s. And but he was very clear that it wasn't about inflicting economic damage. There's always going to be people buying grapes. A very small percentage of Americans stopped buying grapes. What it was all about was getting publicity. And you do boycotts to get publicity, just like, you know, Gandhi was doing hunger strikes. So you do these things to get publicity for your cause. And because ultimately, if we start believing that boycotts are the way to make things happen, then we're back to the idea that you're voting with your dollars, and those people with the most dollars have the most votes.
There's another justification, too, which is, I don't know what it is, Tanzanite? It's a stone.
Right.
And I refuse to buy it because I know that it's being mined in a certain way that is literally on the backs of poor people, and it's
well. This is one of the problems the diamond industry has right now, and they're addressing this by trying
diamonds.
To come up with diamonds that are not blood diamonds, but
right.
it's an industry that is.
So I don't mind boycotts like that, but that's a personal boycott in the same way you would, boycott a cigarette company because they kill people. That's if you're saying George Clooney's killing people. She's got her head so far up her butt.
But there actually is a book out now called Liberals Are Killing Children. I mean, it's like this is the level of demagoguery that the right has to stoop to.
Please tune back during broadcast hours.
Connected to each other by an artificial canal in Chicago. Some people think it might be time to separate the Great Lakes and the Mississippi once again. They're concerned about the way invasive plants and animals can spread from one watershed to the other. The Great Lakes Fishery Trust and the Great Lakes Fishery Commission have launched a major study of the Chicago Canal. Mark Gaden works with the Fishery Commission. He says the study will look at ways to re-engineer the canal to stop foreign plants and animals without stopping waterborne traffic.
The whole goal is to keep invasive species out of the Great Lakes and also to keep invasive species from going from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi. The biological separation study really asks one major question. Are there more things that we can do to eliminate the risk of invasive species while still maintaining the flow of boat traffic on this important waterway?
The problem with foreign organisms moving between the Great Lakes and the Mississippi is very real. The infamous zebra mussel has spread rapidly from the Great Lakes across much of the Mississippi watershed. And today, people are worried about a foreign fish in the Mississippi River that's moving toward the Great Lakes. It's the Asian carp, and it's so big and hungry that people refer to it as an underwater lawnmower. The carp escaped from fish farms in the south, and now it dominates parts of the Mississippi River. If Asian carp ever got through the Chicago Canal, the fish could take over parts of the Great Lakes. The Chicago Canal has been fitted with an electric barrier to stop the Asian carp. Gaydon says that's only a first step, and the ongoing study will list other options. It's scheduled for completion this summer. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate. So your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer. And save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Looking down the nose is what people say. These are just words and words obey. It's what you do and not what you say. If you're not part of the future, then get out of the way.
And welcome back, my friends. News without conflicts of global corporate interests. The Tom Hartman Program, that's me. Welcome back to our program, Bob in Dearborn, Michigan. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. I spent a lot of time in Dearborn, Michigan in my life.
Oh.
Blast from the past. In fact, our oldest daughter was born, near there in, over by Inkster, Westland, Livonia, in Livonia, St. Mary's Hospital.
About 10 minutes from my house.
There you go.
I agree about the Fox News slant. It seems like over the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months, it seems like they're getting all these beautiful attorneys on their shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
know. It's like Babe a Minute TV, you know.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, what did they do? You know, have Star Search for 50 states, you know, to find, you know, the hottest attorneys they could possibly find to watch, you know, the hypocrisy that comes out of that show.
That's funny.
Real quick, maybe you can explain to me some of this right-wing thinking. I, in passing yesterday, I heard Sean Hannity say to Alan Combs something to the fact that all you liberals think the same. And I think it was because of his tirade over the weekend with Alec Baldwin. Mm-hmm. Do Republicans not understand that not all Democrats think the exact same?
No, they don't. They don't understand it. And the reason why, Bob, is because we all judge others by ourselves. And this is the basic, this is kind of the human baseline. I remember when I was like 7, 8 years old, I was second grade, some kid in class accused me of stealing something of his. And I was just crushed by it. I mean, you know, and the teacher took his side and the whole thing, you know, it was a whole big deal, right? The next day that we found out he'd lost it in his desk, but that wasn't part of the story on this particular day. And I went home that night and I was just really bummed out. And I sat down with my dad and I was telling my dad about this. And my dad's, and this kid was like, you know, oh, you know, you're a thief, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, my dad said, does this kid often accuse people of stealing things? And I said, yeah, he often does. And my dad said to me, then don't trust him. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, if he's always thinking that other people are stealing from him, he's probably a person who steals.
Exactly.
He said, we always judge others by ourselves.
Like,
and, you know, at 7 years old, I got that, and it's a lesson that I have not ever seen really violated in all my years.
Right, I understand. Like, I have a neighbor who's a Republican. Now, I don't, you know, judge him, you know, or think that, you know, he thinks along the same lines as Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or you know, even heaven's worst, Pat Robertson, for God's sake. I mean, that would be totally unfair. But I don't think Republicans look at things that way. I'm convinced. I don't think intellectually they're on the same, you know, playing field.
Well, again, you know, we're
open-minded.
Let's not make the mistake of doing what they're accusing us of doing. The reality is that within the Republican Party, there are some good people. And there is a very, very powerful force for conformity in the Republican Party.
Oh, and Tom,
and it began with Reagan.
I heard an interview yesterday with Trent Lott. I think it was on Hardball. And Matthews was asking him if there should be more shakeup, which I don't think this Andy Card thing in the White House, that wasn't really a shakeup. That was promoting within. But I Trent Lott mentioned John Engler's name, and being that I'm calling you from Michigan, John Engler, the 12 years that we had him here, destroyed the economy in this state.
Oh, yeah.
God, I hope
I know.
That was just, a name floating out there, and there's no validity to it.
Let's hope not.
Thanks,
I agree with you. Bob, Bob, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you. Yeah, no, I have a lot of family in Michigan. In fact, I was in Michigan 2 weekends ago. And, yes, Mr. Engler did a lot of damage to that state. Barry in Carlin, Nevada. Hey, Barry, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Tom. I just wanted to assure your listeners that there really is no connection between the Mormons, which is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and Pat Robertson.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to suggest that there is. The last time I had Catherine DeBrecht on, I had gone to her website and read it, and there was this whole riff on there about how she was raised in the Mormon religion and that she thought that Joseph Smith was a sex fiend and how she got out of it and got married and converted to Catholicism and all this stuff. And she was, giving talks on this, and I guess in a previous incarnation, before she became the conservative book author, she was the anti-Mormon author. And so I thought I'd give her an opportunity to talk about that message, because I actually talked with her on the phone about it after our last, after her last book. And I said, you want to talk about this on the air? And she was like, sure. And this time I brought it up, and she didn't want to go near it. So I'm guessing, the conservatives said to her, you're going to be a conservative book author. You got to stop picking on the Mormons.
Okay.
I mean, that's at least I am quite certain that I am not mixing her up with anybody else. But, never know. What can I say?
Sure.
It's possible that I am. But you're right. There is no relationship between Pat Robertson and the Church of Latter-day Saints. I agree with you. Jeff in Colorado. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Tom, I just wanted to actually talk about two topics briefly. The first topic, I guess, what you're talking about is and how it applies to what you're talking about is oil and economic control. And the United States relies on oil to supply about 40% of its energy requirements, more than any other source. And much of the U.S. oil comes from the Gulf region. The region also supplies oil to most of the other world. And, of course,
although most of our oil comes from Canada, Mexico, and Venezuela.
Well,
most of our imported oil.
Well, the imported oil, yes.
Yeah.
And some of it comes from the Gulf, too. But it's my understanding that whoever controls the Gulf automatically maintains a stranglehold on the global economy. And
you could strongly make that argument, Jeff. You could strongly make that argument.
Now, it's,
and that, I believe, is why the Project for New American Century said, let's put a footprint in the Gulf by taking Iraq.
Right, right. And Iraq has according to sources, has the second largest oil reserves in the Middle East.
Right, that's what Dick Cheney said. Now they're saying Iran has the second largest. But Jeff, I'm sorry, we're out of time. But point made. This is a sensitive area. It's a real area. And, of course,
Iraq sits on top of 10% of world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
And so let's just send in the troops. There's countries all over the world that are sitting around going, don't explore for oil! Don't explore for oil! Sir, we don't want to know. 57 minutes past the hour.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
I hope we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. This is probably the best wake-up call Jim Carroll of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, has ever received. Just before 6 a.m. this morning, his daughter Jill Carroll called from Baghdad to tell him she was alive and free. The freelance journalist was kidnapped nearly 3 months ago in an ambush that killed her translator. Iraqi police say the 28-year-old Christian Science Monitor freelancer was dropped off near the offices of the Iraqi Islamic Party. She walked inside and people there called American officials. And today she told Baghdad Television she was unharmed.
Very good treatment. I was kept in a very good, small, safe place, a safe room. Nice furniture, you gave me clothing, plenty of food, I was allowed to take showers, go to the bathroom when I wanted.
The U.S. military is not taking the credit for the release of Carroll. A Pentagon spokesman also said it isn't clear whether the military will help transport her out of Iraq. During her time as a hostage, Carroll's kidnappers demanded the release of all female detainees in Iraq. A short time later, five female detainees were released. But the Pentagon spokesman says there are still five female prisoners being held in detention centers in Iraq. A federal grand jury is considering whether confessed al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui is eligible for the death penalty. They have had that case since yesterday. Today, they asked the judge to define the term weapons of mass destruction. Judge Leonie Brinkema responded that the term includes airplanes used as missiles. One of the three convictions on which Moussaoui could receive the death penalty is conspiracy to use weapons of mass destruction. Pentagon specialists made an unannounced visit to Libya last month to assess costs and options for the U.S. government to help Libya destroy its chemical weapons. Libya declared publicly in 2003 it was renouncing nuclear, biological, and chemical arms. Just back from Libya, James Tenaglia, director of a Pentagon unit known as the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, says Libya has tens of tons of mustard gas, as well as chemicals that can be used in the production of chemical weapons. And Victor Conti was released today from a California prison after 4 months. He's the operator of the Balco company, where he ran an illegal steroids distribution scheme that allegedly involved many high-profile athletes. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again?
Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz, the number 6.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
Attention! If you do not have health insurance, have limited health insurance, or are uninsurable and are worried about the cost of health care, this announcement is for you. For less than $2 a day, your entire family can save thousands of dollars on all medical expenses thanks to Synergy Health. With more than 600,000 providers around the country, Synergy Health can save you up to 60% on doctors, hospitals, hearing, vision, prescriptions, and even dental care. Plus, you'll get great savings on chiropractic, alternate medicine, and much more. And here's the best part. Synergy Health offers guaranteed acceptance to everyone, no matter what your health history or income, at the same low price. Call our 800 number and learn how Synergy Health is helping families like yours for less than $2 a day. There is no obligation, and the information is free.
Call 1-800-933-2596 for free information. That's 1-800-933-2596. There's absolutely no obligation.
The man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the radio support group of, by, and for we the people of the United States of America, the Tom Hartman radio program. Jill Carroll was freed this morning after being held nearly 3 months in Iraq. Already the right-wing attacks have begun. Even though she's not liberal, I mean, she's just a reporter. John Podhertz? I don't know how you say his name. Anyhow, he in the National Review, John Podhertz attacking her mental state. He says, it's wonderful that he's free, but after watching someone who was a hostage for 3 months say on television she was well-treated because she wasn't beaten or killed, while being dressed in the garb of a modest Muslim woman rather than a non-Muslim woman is she actually is, I expect there will be some Stockholm Syndrome talk in the coming days. Actually, she would dress like that before when she went out to interview people, and hey, she was just being respectful of the culture. But it's interesting, this whole thing, I find this whole thing fascinating with Jill Carroll, and my take on this is based purely, I will say right up front, not on you know research on the Internet or talking to experts or anything, but just purely on my own personal experience. There is a huge industry in third world countries, and Iraq has become a third world country as a result of 9 years of sanctions and four years, if you include 1991, of war, not to mention the war that they had with Iran for 8 or 9 years or 10 years before that. Iran or Iraq, which was once one of the most prosperous countries in the Middle East, is now an absolute basket case, over 50% unemployment. There is a major industry in kidnapping for profit. I remember when I was down in Bogota, Colombia, we were down there negotiating with the Catholic Church for some land. We started a program down there in the La Paz slum in Bogota. All around, Bogota is like the city in a bowl, and the mountains all around the side. You know, 50 years ago, they were just mountains. Now they're just mile after mile after mile, supporting millions, literally millions and millions of people living in cardboard shacks and houses put together out of asbestos, roofing asbestos and stuff like that. And strung together wire and ditches run down the edges or the middles of the streets with raw sewage running off. And when I was visiting Bogota, I remember one of my first nights there. I actually wrote about this in a book I wrote called The Prophet's Way. We were visiting the home of a middle class family. They probably earn the equivalent of what in today's U.S. dollars would be, say, $60,000, $70,000 a year. Upper middle class, okay, the high end of the middle class in Bogota. And we were told when we came to take a taxi and to do these kind of evasive maneuvers. And when we got to the house, and these were people who were one of them was a member of the board of directors of this charity, this local charity that we were working with. And another was a potential donor, and a couple of other people. You know, and it was basically kind of the middle class and the upper middle class folks from Colombia who had the money to and the social connections to be helpful with this sort of thing. And they were terrified of kidnappers. They were terrified that anybody might know that an American had showed up at their home. And one of the women who came over that night with her husband had been herself kidnapped a year earlier. Her husband was an executive with an American company. He was Colombian. He couldn't leave the country. She was kidnapped, and the kidnappers knew what her husband's salary was. They knew what their bank balance was. They knew how much credit they had on their credit cards. They knew the value of their home. They knew how much of it was mortgaged and how much of it they owned. And they did not let her go until he had maxed out his credit cards, wiped out his checking account, borrowed to the hilt on his house, and then borrowed an additional $10,000 from all of his friends and relations because they figured that was how much he could squeeze out of the people he knew in his social circle. They were broke. They were devastated. They were wiped out. And she had been held hostage for 5-6 months, something like this. It was a horrifying experience for her. And when I was there, I discovered that 50, 100 people a day are kidnapped in Bogota for ransom. It is a huge, or at least it was at this time. This is about 10 years ago. I don't know, frankly, what the situation is today, whether it's gotten better or whether it's gotten worse. But that's what it was like a decade ago. And right now in Iraq, lest we forget, as the Christian Science Monitor pointed out today, right now in Iraq, 30 people a day are taken hostage in Iraq. Now, the Christian Science Monitor didn't go on and point out most of them for ransom. But I think it's a safe guess that that's the case. And in fact, I would suggest, and I realize it's impolitic to say it, but again, having worked in the third world, having worked in places, I've worked in war zones. I was in Uganda during the war against Idi Amin when the Tanzanians invaded and then the civil war happened. I need not go through the list. Anyhow, the point is that I've been in third world countries. In Russia, I was in Kaliningrad, in parts of Russia after the collapse of the Soviet Union, when there was just chaos. And all of a sudden, this industry of kidnapping for ransom emerges. I remember in Bogota one day driving down the street, and there was a billboard advertising a new community, a new middle-class community that you could buy a house in. And the billboard had a picture of a house, nice, house of the, kind of looked like your average middle-class house, American kind of house. And out in front, a couple of kids playing. And then in front of that was the metal fence with the razor wire rolled across the top. And then in front of that was a guy, and this was all on the billboard, in front of that was a guy standing there in a paramilitary uniform with an AK-47. And they're like, come move into our community. And you drive through the middle class and upper middle class suburbs of Bogota, and that's what you see. You see guys walking up and down the street with automatic rifles. And so I would guess, and I'm convinced that if this is the case, the Christian Science Monitor would never say so out loud, nor should they, because it simply encourages the business. But I would guess that probably a ransom was paid to get Jill Carroll out of Iraq. And had I been in the position of the Christian Science Monitor or a family or a friend of hers, I would have done it. And I mean, it's a terrible thing, but that's the industry that emerges when you have a country going through the kind of conservative shock therapy that we confronted Iraq with when Paul Bremer came in. I mean, just consider, the conservatives have been absolutely fried since the 1940s by the fact that Harry Truman, when they helped reconstruct the constitutions of Germany and what became West Germany and Japan, when they helped reconstruct those constitutions, Harry Truman said, hey, by the way, I can't get national health care through here in the United States. He tried in 1947. The Republicans in the House and Senate fought him on it, and they won. He was not successful. The first attempt to pass national health care, Medicare for All, was by Harry Truman in 1947. He said, I can't get this done in the United States, but let's do it in Germany and Japan just to show the world that it's a good thing. He said, we have the Wagner Act here in the United States in 1935 that made union shops and, made unionization legal, basically, or made it illegal to try and make it illegal or to try and bust unions. And then that was diluted down by the Taft-Hartley Act in 1947, again, because the Republicans took control of the House and Senate in the election of 46. And so it was Harry Truman against the Republicans. And, in fact, he vetoed Taft-Hartley, and they overrode his veto. So he said, let's build the labor protections that we just lost here in the United States. Let's build those kinds of labor protections into the constitutions of Japan and Germany. And they did. Let's build the kind of human rights and civil rights, the kind of court system where guilty or innocent until proven guilty. Let's build these things. Let's build these progressive things into the constitutions. And what are the two of the three largest economies in the world right now? Germany and Japan. And so the conservatives have been sitting around for 50 years going, that stinks that Harry Truman got to do that. It was a fluke. We need a country where we can take over the economy and prove that if we outlaw unions, as they did in Iraq, Paul Bremer did in Iraq, if we make a flat tax, a flat rate of 15%, regardless of whether you're a billionaire or working poor, you still pay 15%, as Paul Bremer did in Iraq after when he rewrote their constitution, where corporations can come in and they can bring in workers from outside the country, where basically the borders are open to multinational corporations to bring in guest workers on an unlimited basis, that will create an economic paradise, because these guys really believed it. They really believed their own PR. And they did that in Iraq. And now we have 50% on 60% unemployment. And now kidnapping for ransom has become a major industry in Iraq. I'm telling you, for those of us who have traveled around the world and seen country after country have to do this as a result of IMF and World Bank controls, we could have predicted this. 16 minutes past the hour.
Hank Montenegro of Morganville, New Jersey wrote, Dear Mr. Oreck, ever since we purchased your 8-pound Oreck XL vacuum, my wife has been in heaven. Recently, she panicked, believing she'd broken the vacuum. I contacted your customer service department, and after a few questions, I was sent a replacement part at no charge. The machine is as good as new. Try my 8-pound Oreck XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
The Bush-Cheney regime asserts that hundreds of captives it has stashed in the military prisons of Guantanamo Bay have no legal rights because, quote, these people are terrorists. Donnie Rumsfeld proclaimed the Gitmo prisoners to be the worst of the worst. So nearly 500 of them are still there, not by the authority of law, but by the autocratic dictate of Bush's imperial presidency. Swept up 4 years ago, the prisoners are being held indefinitely, with practically no access to lawyers and with no right to appeal their incarceration. It violates the U.S. Constitution and international law, but what the hell? They're terrorists, right? Well, some are, but it's now been revealed that a shameful number of these disappeared ones have no connection whatsoever to terrorism. The Bushites know this, but still hold them. Take Abdur Syed Rahman, a Pakistani villager who was taken from his small farm in 2002 and dumped into Guantanamo, accused of having been the deputy foreign minister of the deposed Taliban government. That Taliban official, however, is named Abdur Zahid Rahman. The poor captive, who's been kept locked up for 4 years, says, "I am only a chicken farmer in Pakistan." Then there's an Afghan who denies being the former Taliban governor of a province there. He asked military officials at Guantanamo to contact the current governor of that province to verify his innocence. In a grotesque example of Catch-22, however, the military said it's up to the prisoner to produce such evidence. "Excuse me," said the Afghan, "but I'm held incommunicado in a U.S. cell in Cuba and not allowed to make calls." To which our military official said, "Write to them." He then ruled that the Afghan could not have his case reviewed for another year. This is Jim Hightower saying, by suspending the rule of law, the Bushites have become a regime of injustice. Remember, this is being done in our name, in the name of America.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
The Tom Hartman Program.
Trying to make a living, that's the bottom line. It ain't easy trying to stretch a nickel into a dime. Sweating for the dollar, working for the man. Half goes to the landlord, Lord, and half to Uncle Sam. I can't get no consolation. I don't get no paid vacation. I can't get no satisfaction. And my tractor don't get no traction. Just do the best I can.
And welcome back, my friends. 21 minutes past the hour at the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS. Give them a call and say hi. And tell me about your iPods and your Macintosh stuff and your non-Macintosh. They have PCs. They can help you out also, as well as EcoWine, 1-888-EcoWine, the organic wine company, importing organic wines from France, some of them from the vineyards actually owned by the Veronique's family. It's a remarkable, remarkable French wines. 1-888-ECOWINE. Victoria Jones is with us with Talk Radio News. Hey, Victoria. Good morning. Or afternoon.
Hey, Tom. Good afternoon to you. Well, I'm in the most peculiar situation here. I'm in Washington, D.C., driving. Just went wrong. Just went wrong again. And,
And you just vanished.
I'm trying to drive to our new offices, and figure out a clever route. And what I did was I ended up on the street where all the cherry blossoms are, where all the tourists are. And I think I'm about to go over a bridge into Virginia. So
oh, my.
It's not good.
Yeah, no, it's not. And your phone is breaking up on top of that. Have you some hot news for us, Victoria?
The hottest news I've got for you is that I was at the Radio and Television Correspondents Dinner last night, and I'm so reluctant to say it, but have to, in the interest of honesty, that Dick Cheney was very, very funny. I have to tell you something like that.
No, as people are dying in Iraq, Dick Cheney was funny.
Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm, you know, cool. I'm not impressed. You know, he can hire a good gag writer. He is still, in my mind, a war criminal. I'm sure Adolf Hitler told some very funny jokes, too, although not to equate Cheney with Hitler. Maybe Joe Goebbels told good jokes.
Well, see, this is the thing. I mean, George W. Bush told some very funny jokes a couple of years ago about how he was searching for weapons of mass destruction, and he showed slides of him looking for them around the White House, and at the time it seemed kind of amusing, but looking back, it really isn't funny at all. And I think this goes to a not really understanding by the administration of the way the public is now viewing this war.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, just to shift the topic a little bit, Victoria Jones, you are a legal immigrant to the United States and now a United States citizen who went through the whole process of legal immigration. Am I correct in that?
That's absolutely right. I've been a citizen since 1995.
How does it make you feel that the president is suggesting that people who came here illegally might get fast-tracked to citizenship after everything you went through?
Well, it frankly doesn't make me feel all that good. But as I read the bits of the legislation and read the stories about the legislation, I find myself so confused that I can't really figure out if that is what he's meaning. On the other hand, I'm glad that he doesn't intend to do something draconian like Bill Frist and criminalize people and build a fence.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the fence would be silly. I think, though, that there is something to be said for this is all about cheap labor. And let's criminalize the employers.
Well, the idea of criminalizing the employer is a very, very interesting one, one that clearly won't happen with this administration, probably with any administration, actually, particularly since a lot of the employers are small businesses. But when you have 10 million people who are here undocumented, you do have a problem. Even if it's not a real problem, it's a problem perception.
No, I think it's a real problem, frankly. The last time I've never had this problem in England. Nobody has ever, I don't have to get a visa to go to the United Kingdom. But I did have to get a visa to go to Australia a couple of years ago because I was doing a speaking tour of that country, which was technically business. And I had to jump through so many hoops to get a business visa to go into Australia. Oh, yeah. You know, you have to, the whole itinerary, you have to prove that you're going to leave the country at a particular time. You have to have a reference. You have to have the connection to an Australian company. You have to certify how much they're going to pay you. You have to pay Australian taxes on it. I mean, it's just this whole song and dance that I had to go through. And you know, most countries say, hey, if you're going to work in our country, if you're going to come into our country and work as an immigrant, you're going to have to do it by the rules. I don't understand why America should be any different. Why should we be the suckers of the world?
You know, the only thing I can think of is that the sheer enormity of our problem has caused people to try to deal with it this way.
It wasn't a problem before Reagan became president. It wasn't a problem back when we used to enforce the laws that said that it was illegal to hire immigrants.
Don't you think it was a bit of a problem back in 87 when they gave the amnesty?
Well, yeah, and that's why they did it. You know, it began when Ronald Reagan came into office. There were roughly 1 million illegal aliens in this country, and then they gave the amnesty in 87, and then there was another sort of, you know, in 92, and boom, you know, it's just exploded, and everybody's waiting for the next amnesty. So
you think the Democrats get on board with your idea?
I sure wish they would. If you go to commondreams.org, you'll see the top story is one I wrote on this very topic. And I think it's the time for the Democrats to start speaking plainly about this. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, talkradionews.com. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
27 minutes past the hour.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wine from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. Call right now. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Living wage campaigns for campus workers are a big part of this National Student Labor Week of Action. Dion Puglizzo is with the Living Wage Action Coalition at Georgetown. She says unions are needed to make sure living wages are implemented.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of campuses and students are realizing that the importance of having a union to hold the university legally accountable to what it's saying. And definitely students at Georgetown are right now working on demanding that the university recognize the Georgetown workers' right to form a union.
The tomato farmers that waged a successful boycott of Taco Bell are now targeting the Golden Arches. Madison, Wisconsin was one of many sites around the country yesterday that saw Immokalee workers picket in front of both McDonald's and the McDonald's own Chipotle. In Wisconsin's capital, nearly 50 protesters, a mix of students, community activists, and farm workers, hoisted signs that said, "Sub-poverty wages make me grimace," and called for an end to slave wages. The hope is that McDonald's will pressure tomato suppliers to pay their workers 1 cent more per pound of picked tomatoes. In 2005, they convinced Taco Bell to raise what they paid workers from 40 cents per bucket to 72 cents. The workers are engaged in a week-long campaign.
Today is Delphi's deadline for an agreement with the UAW, IUE, CWA, and other unions on wage and benefits concessions demanded by the bankrupt auto parts supplier. The unions have rejected a demand to drive down wages by 39%. The IUE, CWA says Delphi is not bargaining in good faith, threatening to move in bankruptcy court to destroy its union contracts. The unions have said that that would mean a crippling strike. It could also bring GM to a halt. Even if Delphi files to throw out the contracts, talks could continue for a few weeks before a decision by the judge.
More people power is in the works for the streets of Paris. French unions and students have called for more strikes next week to exert continued pressure on the administration of President Jacques Chirac. More than 1 million people have taken part in the historical protests over a new youth labor law that critics say could make it too easy for employers to fire young workers. And now here's Greg Gordon with a WIN Sports Report.
Minor league umpires plan to strike when the season starts next month and have filed an unfair labor practice charge with the National Labor Relations Board. The Association of Minor League Umpires, which represents about 220 umps, says the Professional Baseball Umpire Corporation threatened to fire employees who went on strike. The average ump salary at AAA, the highest minor league level, is $15,000 a year, while rookie league umps make less than $6,000. Minor league umpires unionized in 2000 and say they won't supply replacements to the major leagues during a strike.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer. And save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the place where we dare to ask the questions the mainstream media is afraid of. Tom Hartman here with you. Got an email here from Omar Hernandez, the last word in all caps, just to give you a clue as to where he's going with this, is a jerk, followed by an exclamation point. It's interesting. I wrote this article, this op-ed piece, about illegal immigrations into the United States, which is published at the top of Common Dreams right now, commondreams.org. And I've probably gotten 50 or 60 emails so far, all of them saying, you are saying what I have been thinking. You know, why don't other people get this? I don't understand. You know, this kind of information. For example, Dean, right? He says, I saw your piece in Common Dreams. Very nice job. I think you got the point exactly. Another one, I just wanted to thank you for writing today's immigration battle. As a progressive, I've recently found myself nearly alone in my views on illegal immigration. I'm active in the Green Party and disturbed. The people who are usually quite progressive on labor and environmental issues want to throw open the borders without regard for what it will do to labor and the environment in the United States. There's also a tendency on the left to lump anyone who's opposed to mass illegal immigration in the category of anti-immigrant racist. It is truly amazing the degree to which progressives have internalized the ideas of corporatists. Writes, this is Michael writing. He says, I've heard individuals parrot the line that illegal immigrants are doing the jobs Americans won't do, yet they never consider that they are in fact supporting the exploitation of both illegal immigrants and poor Americans. They are just accepting that there are jobs that Americans won't do without questioning why those jobs are so bad, which is why those jobs are so dangerous, dirty, and low paid. So that's, you know, every piece of email that I've got, except for this one. And he says, I found your article to be very deceiving and historically incorrect. You leave out some key interventions, more like coups and government toppling, that has caused the mass migrations of millions of Central and South Americans to the United States. And then he goes into a long rant about Reagan's activities in Nicaragua and El Salvador, which I deplore, and I deplore regularly on this program. Remember the Contras? He says this in turn was one of the sole reasons that half the population of El Salvador is displaced in Los Angeles, which is the same way the people of Darfur have been displaced in neighboring countries like Chad. I don't know. El Salvador is a long way from Los Angeles. He says, what about NAFTA? Did you forget this trade agreement led to mass migrations of workers to the U.S. and Canada? Again, it's people go someplace because people go in search of jobs. We find today, by the way, that illegal immigrants in the United States are more likely to have a job than are U.S. citizens. Right? This, no, I'm serious. And I'm trying to find the article that I had with it. I'll get to it a little later. But in any case, that's the bottom line with that. Here it is right here. CNN today. Illegal immigrants are more likely than American citizens to hold jobs. It's what I said. And spreading across the United States. This is about work. He goes on to take me to task, saying that the Zapatista movement erupted and then crumbled. And I'm saying, hey, you know, if the good people of Mexico were still in Mexico fighting on behalf of the revolution, maybe it would be more successful. He says, meanwhile, the millions of Americans who came to this country as illegal immigrants, he's quoting me, as legal immigrants who waited in line for years, did the hard work to become citizens, are feeling insulted, humiliated, and conned, end quote. He says, I find this statement even more offensive than any Minuteman neo-Nazi slogan I've heard during your marches, during our marches. What's offensive about it? It's hard to become a citizen of any country. Any country. He says, what is legal and illegal immigration? When is it illegal when a country literally crushes any hope for democracies and actively recruits cheap labor? Exactly my point. The fault is with recruiting cheap labor here in the United States, and the people who are recruiting the cheap labor should face penalties for that. They should not be allowed to do it any longer. He says, do you think people want to leave their families and homes behind and enter a place where they will not only be ridiculed but also harassed and beaten for their labor, a labor that is forced upon them? Well, first of all, I don't think that the labor is forced upon them if they came here. But secondly, no, I don't think somebody would want to leave their home and family behind unless they thought that it was there was a job waiting for them. He says, you're totally in line with these corporatists and racists expounding the same rhetoric. I'm sorry, I'm not. The corporatists want an amnesty program. They want a guest worker program. They want the Bracero program. They want more cheap labor in the United States. They want to bust the unions in the United States. And the racists are afraid of brown people. And therefore they want a wall. I think a wall is a stupid idea. And I don't think that we should be diluting our labor force further by bringing in illegal immigrants from any country simply for the sake of working here. I do think that we should expand our immigration quotas for people who are genuine refugees. I mean, if you look at the situation in Darfur, and that's only one of many countries, where there are real serious problems and real genuine refugees. And they're having a terrible time getting into this country, while people are just flowing across the border from Mexico just looking for a job. He says, my advice to you is to check your facts. Do more research on Wikipedia on the causes of migration, what every child learns in middle school. Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I have. He says, stop getting your news from conservative news stations and papers. I'm sorry. The march in L.A. brought 1 million-plus people, and Chicago brought 500,000 people. You jerk. Yeah, what can I say? Okay, you've had your say, Omar. Thank you very much. But, you know, I don't think I'm a jerk. I think that the immigration, this is a serious issue that we have to address in the United States, and we also have to address it as part of a multidimensional program. Part of it is that we have 10, 15, who knows how many illegal immigrants in the United States, and they are employed. More of them are employed than American citizens who are trying to be members of the American workforce are employed, number one. Number two, we have international trade agreements like GATT, NAFTA, the WTO, that cause American workers, or for that matter, illegal immigrant workers. The American workforce, which is now, you know, includes about 5% of it includes illegal workers. The American workforce is now having to compete with the workforce of China, of Burma, of Malaysia, of Indonesia. Well, you can't compete with, you know, even at $4 an hour, you can't compete against people who are willing to work for $4 a day. So we have this perfect storm that has happened of insane trade policies combined with flagrant ignoring, essentially, of our labor, of our immigration policies, diluting the labor force. And then you get, you know, folks jumping on the bandwagon. It's pointed out to me yesterday, the AFL-CIO, apparently, I didn't know this, the AFL-CIO in 2000 decided that they would start supporting amnesty for illegal aliens. If that's the case, I would have, you know, and I don't know for sure that it is, but if that's the case, I think it's tragic. It's you know, hey, we need members. And this is the result of Reagan's war on the middle class and Reagan's war on unionized labor. Lee in Oxford, Mississippi. Hey, Lee, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. How you doing, man?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up, Lee?
I was going to ask you about, first of all, I'm loving your work on corporate personhood.
Thank you.
And I had an idea I wanted to bounce off of you in terms of how to kind of get the word out about how ridiculous this is.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, to magnify the issue to the ridiculous. What is?
We should firstly, just for those people who don't know what, you say corporate personhood, they don't know what you're talking about. Corporate personhood is the idea which has been promulgated in the United States since the 1880s, and the Federalist Society and the John Roberts of the world have really been pushing hard in the Republican Party that corporations should have the rights that were defined for human beings in the Constitution, the right of privacy, the right of free speech, the whole collection of rights against self-incrimination, rights against double jeopardy, et cetera, et cetera. So,
right.
Continue.
Well, how about this? What if, let's see a corporation, if they're a person, like they may legally be, let's have them try to do some stuff that humans do, namely apply for a driver's license, try to get married. Of course, there'll be somebody who pushes back on that and says you can't do that. A lawsuit ensues, and you know, hopefully it could work its way up the ladder. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and hopefully in the process begin to kind of build some awareness to show that corporations are not people and shouldn't have the same rights. In other words, you know, taking it to the ridiculous and seeing what happens.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea, Lee, and in fact it's being done right now here in Portland, Oregon. There is a group which is trying to get enough signatures on the ballot to nominate for the to run as governor of the state a corporation.
I love it.
Yeah, and they're on their way. They're on their way. And apparently there's no law against it. So we may have a corporation as governor of the state of great state of Oregon. We'll see. You know, so yeah, there's people out there doing that, and they realize it's guerrilla theater, but you're spot on. Good point. Lee, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Ben in Paris, France. Hey, Ben, what's on your mind today?
Hey, hello, Tom. This has got to go down as the most expensive phone call I've made in my whole
life.
I'm
sorry. I didn't catch that Paris, France was on hold here, or I would have taken it right away.
Oh, it's only 40 minutes.
Jeez, my apologies.
I'm living in Paris, and I thought, just for your edification, perhaps for the audience in the States who have not been privy to this information, there's a very interesting article in The Guardian Unlimited out of the U.K., mm-hmm. which basically talks about the United States have hired a Chinese company to scan nukes. It's a
right. Yeah, we talked about it on the program here.
Just a bit of a synopsis from this article.
Well, Ben, we've talked about this on the program. This broke in the United States about 3 or 4 days ago, tail end of last week.
Covered this concern.
Yeah, and they're doing it out of the Bahamas.
Because it's definitely dwarfing the scandal of the United Arab Emirates
deal. I agree with you. And what's absolutely amazing is that the mainstream media in the United States is ignoring it.
Well, I'm glad you covered it. I think the more people talk about it, I think it's very illuminating, and it really reflects on how defiant the Bush administration is in regards to, and there's really a double standard here.
Absolutely agree with you, Ben. Absolutely agree with you. In fact, I'll pull that thing up, and we'll get back to it again, and we'll continue doing it. Ben, thanks so much for the call. 45 minutes past the hour.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps the air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyard, San Luis Obispo, California.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
Great Lakes experts look at ways to stop invasive species by parting the waters. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The Great Lakes and the Mississippi River have the two largest watersheds on the North American continent, and they're connected to each other by an artificial canal in Chicago. Some people think it might be time to separate the Great Lakes and the Mississippi once again. They're concerned about the way invasive plants and animals can spread from one watershed to the other. The Great Lakes Fishery Trust and the Great Lakes Fishery Commission have launched a major study of the Chicago Canal. Mark Gaydon works with the Fishery Commission. He says the study will look at ways to re-engineer the canal to stop foreign plants and animals without stopping waterborne traffic.
The whole goal is to keep invasive species out of the Great Lakes and also to keep invasive species from going from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi. The biological separation study really asks one major question. Are there more things that we can do to eliminate the risk of invasive species while still maintaining the flow of boat traffic on this important waterway?
The problem with foreign organisms moving between the Great Lakes and the Mississippi is very real. The infamous zebra mussel has spread rapidly from the Great Lakes across much of the Mississippi watershed. And today, people are worried about a foreign fish in the Mississippi River that's moving toward the Great Lakes. It's the Asian carp, and it's so big and hungry that people refer to it as an underwater lawnmower. The carp escaped from fish farms in the south, and now it dominates parts of the Mississippi River. If Asian carp ever got through the Chicago Canal, the fish could take over parts of the Great Lakes. The Chicago Canal has been fitted with an electric barrier to stop the Asian carp. Gaydon says that's only a first step, and the ongoing study will list other options. It's scheduled for completion this summer. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've heard the saying, you get what you pay for, and it's true, especially when you're building. Terry Mosteller of Lumberton, Mississippi knows it for a fact. She called to report her General Steel building is still standing and looks as good as the day it was built, even after Hurricane Katrina destroyed or severely damaged nearly every other building in town. We salute those who were affected by the recent hurricanes as they rebuild and take pride in knowing that our buildings stand up to the ultimate test. When it comes to your building project with General Steel, you do get what you pay for.
General Steel is offering rebates right now up to $20,000. Call now for details. 800-965-1295, 800-965-1295. Call 24/7 for your free General Steel quote. 800-965-1295, 800-965-1295.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Sometimes it's bad when the going gets tough. Yeah, we look in the mirror. Yeah, we wanna give up. Sometimes you don't even want to try. Sometimes we cry.
Yeah, and sometimes we get active. Sometimes we say, enough of this, no despair here. This is the No Despair Zone, the Tom Hartman program. Welcome back, my friends. Julie in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Julie, what's on your mind today?
Hi. A couple of days ago, there was a lady who asked you a question, and I was not in the room at the time, so I didn't hear what she asked. And you gave an answer that it was the Christian Reformed Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I think you were talking about... I know you were talking about immigration and wages.
Somebody asked me if there was a religious tradition. This was last week, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a caller asked if there was a religious tradition in Christianity that exalted wealth. And I said, yes, John Calvin had this notion, which was very popular in the 1600s, in the 17th century in the United States, in the 1700s, in the 18th century as well, that... wealth was a sign of a blessing by God. And he was also the founder of the Calvinist Church. And then I said, and the Calvinist Church, I believe, in the United States is largely headquartered right there in Grand Rapids, although I don't think that that is today part of the official doctrine of the Calvinist Church.
No, it isn't. And my dad and his parents came over from the Netherlands quite often. The reason Dutch people came to this part of Michigan is that they had no money. It was impossible to make a living.
Yeah.
And it's not so much a case of you have to have wealth as you have to watch your pennies.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be a budgeter.
Sure,
Because I think it's a lot of us were a lot more cautious about budgeting. We wouldn't be fretting about how we haven't got enough money.
I agree with you. Just watch what you've
been doing with the money you've got.
I agree with you.
One other thing, I never hear you mention temporary services. You or anyone else. And most of my employment was through temporary services.
Mm-hmm.
And if these laws go through regarding immigration, and we had a lot of placements, just about every placement in the company was through temporary services. If anything happens between two temps, that's between them and their company.
Mm-hmm.
Your employer is not the company that you're working at.
Right, it's the temp service.
So if there is somebody working at a company, that company would not be harmed if that was an illegal employee.
Right, but the temporary service would be. I mean, back when I was a teenager, during one summer, I worked for Manpower in Lansing, Michigan for a while, for, I don't know, probably a month or so, but, you know, going out on jobs. And Manpower was my employer. They wrote the checks. So mm-hmm. even though they were paid by the companies that I was doing work for. And if they're equally barred from hiring illegal immigrants, then those jobs are not available.
Yeah, I've got one other thing to mention. Mm-hmm. Remember years ago, we're about the same age. I'm a little older than you. But Walmart used to advertise that they sold only American-made goods.
Yeah, until Sam died.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was made in USA was the Sam Walton's big thing. And,
yeah, and I hadn't realized there was that change, so I'd been to one Walmart down south, and then when they moved up around here, I went in, and I was amazed that this is made in China, and that's made in...
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. It's incredible. And in Michigan, you have the Myers chain, a local chain, competing with Walmart. And they actually pay, you know, they hire union workers. I don't know if all their workers are union, but I know my brother, who's a union worker, does electrical work for Myers. And they're in Michigan. And, they pay a decent salary, I believe. And there's a lot of local companies and local chains that are really taking a whack from Walmart and threatened by it.
Meijer isn't all that local anymore. They go down into Kentucky.
Yeah, well, it's regional now. Yeah, but they started out. They started out right in that neighborhood. Julie, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, it was just
great. Great to hear from you. I appreciate it. Back to the just to point out what Ben was calling from Paris about, and again, my apologies, Ben, for keeping you on hold for 40 minutes. In the aftermath, in the future, I will be informed when there's somebody online from outside the United States. In the aftermath of the Dubai ports dispute, this from the Associated Press. This was a week ago today. Exactly a week ago today, and this is the original story that we reported on last week. In the aftermath of the Dubai ports dispute, the Bush administration is hiring a Hong Kong conglomerate to help detect nuclear materials inside cargo passing through the Bahamas to the United States and elsewhere. The administration acknowledges the no-bid contract with Hutchinson Whampoa Limited represents the first time a foreign company will be involved in running a sophisticated U.S. radiation detector at an overseas port without customs agents present. And you know, they just go through this whole thing about how we don't have to worry about it. This Li Ka-shing is pretty close to a lot of senior leaders of the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party, said Larry Hortzel, head of the U.S. Government Commission that studies Chinese security. But nonetheless, he says this is a very legitimate an international businessman. We don't have to worry, basically. And I beg to differ. So, well said, Ben. And this, in fact, is just another example of the Bush administration being part of the Reagan, Bush Sr., Clinton, Bush Jr. idea of the New World Order. You know, this whole fundamental idea of a new world order that if it's being done by a corporation, a multinational corporation, that's good. If it's being done by a government, that's probably bad. You know, that socialist stuff, that's bad. We should really privatize our police departments, our fire departments, our armies. You think, you know, you say, what? Privatize the army? Are you crazy? The second largest army in Iraq right now is private contractors. We've already privatized the army. And I'll tell you, the people who are actually in our army are not at all pleased about it, about these contractors who are making $100,000, $150,000 a year to be over there in Iraq working for the very, you know, for Blackwater and the other independent private contracting firms. But, you know, that's the decision that the Bush administration has made. It's not illegal, but I think that we need to have a debate in the United States about whether it's the best thing for this country. to be just, you know, outsourcing willy-nilly, first of all, within this country, and then secondly, outsourcing to countries outside the United States, particularly those things that have to do with the security of this country. It's 57 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. We'll be back.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. The U.S. military isn't taking the credit for the release of American journalist Jill Carroll in Iraq. The Pentagon spokesman says the military wasn't involved in Carroll's release today, 3 months after she was kidnapped. The spokesman also said it isn't clear whether the military will help transport her out of Iraq. It also isn't clear why she was let go. She told Baghdad TV it was a mystery to her.
I don't know what happened.
You don't know.
They just came to me and said, okay, we're letting you go now.
The U.S. ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad, says none of the kidnappers were captured. A logical question might be that a ransom was paid, but Khalilzad says this.
No U.S. person entered into any arrangements with anyone. By U.S. person, I mean the United States mission.
A related story just coming out of Germany says that authorities there have arrested a man who's accused of trying to extort $2 million from the Christian Science Monitor by promising to win the release of Jill Carroll, who was a freelance writer for the Monitor. A U.S. arrest warrant and an FBI affidavit made public today by federal prosecutors in Washington said that Kelvin Kamara, a West African native living in Germany, struck up an email exchange with a Monitor editor and said he knew who was holding Carroll and could arrange her freedom in exchange for the payment. The FBI affidavit says Kamara, in addition to the kidnap release scam, was using his email account to send out what are called Nigerian advance fee schemes, the sort of email that says someone you know has passed away and left you lots of money if you'll just send us your bank account numbers. In France, that new law making it easier to fire young workers that sparked nationwide strikes by labor unions and violent protests by students has been upheld by France's Constitutional Council. That decision now puts the onus on President Jacques Chirac to either implement the law as is, at the risk of further unrest, or negotiate a compromise. The protest movement has plunged Chirac's government into crisis, and a decision to strike the law down would have offered a way out. And it could be next winter before Congress passes an immigration bill. There's growing belief on Capitol Hill, according to the Associated Press. Political concerns will delay a compromise between House and Senate versions of the bill. Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
You know, people pay as much as $48 for a pound of gourmet coffee, as much as $150 for a diet pill. Well, what if we combine the two into a great-tasting coffee that guarantees you'll lose weight? Well, we have, and it's called Slim Cafe. A combination of 7 safe and effective diet ingredients blended into a gourmet coffee. This 28-ounce bag of Slim Cafe is a 45-day supply. Simply replace your coffee with ours and watch those pounds fade away. And if you don't lose 5 or 10 pounds, well, return it for a full refund, no questions asked. Get started on your own weight loss program by calling toll-free now. You'll get a 45-day supply of delicious Slim Cafe for only $39.95. And remember, if you don't start losing pounds, return it for a full refund. Call now and start your day with Slim Cafe. Call toll-free right now, 1-800-399-6220. That's 1-800-399-6220. Call now, 1-800-399-6220.
Tired of having people repeat and repeat what they are saying? Louder and louder so you can hear? In those embarrassing moments with the new Amplier 2005, so small and powerful you won't believe the difference. Amplier 2005 is so reliable, over 100,000 are in use nationwide. Hear even faint phone conversations with ease. Enjoy your favorite TV show, the theater, sporting events, and family functions without straining to hear. Amplier is fully adjustable, fits both men and women, and is nearly invisible. Results are so effective, they're 100% guaranteed or your money back. Not $79 or $39. Order your Amplier 2005 today for only $19.95. You'll also receive 5 extra batteries, a cleaning brush, and 3 custom fit earpieces absolutely free with your order. Call 1-800-841-7878. Never apologize again for not being able to hear. Order now and get a second Amplier 2005 for only $14.95. Our operators are standing by. Call 1-800-841-7878 today. That's 1-800-841-7878. Order your Amplier and hear even a whisper.
You love your garden. You love the fresh produce, the money you save, and the pride that comes from working the soil. But it's never been an easy chore. Until now. I'd like to send you a free information kit that shows how easy gardening can be with a Matus Tiller Cultivator. It's so light and easy to use, you can cultivate an entire average-sized garden in only 20 minutes without breaking a sweat. And at only 20 pounds, anyone can handle it. But in spite of its light weight, it'll cut through sod and even the toughest, rockiest soil with ease. The Matus is so easy to handle, even in tight places. Even in hard soil, it'll dig down 10 inches deep. It's so much fun to use, you'll want to plant a second garden. But the Matus does more. With optional attachments, you can aerate and dethatch your lawn, edge around walks and driveways, even trim hedges.
Call 1-800-525-6029 now for our complete information kit and a free video showing how easy it is to use the Matus Tiller Cultivator. Put the fun back in gardening. Call now, 1-800-525-6029. That's 1-800-525-6029.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Well, it's
I'm
because
really
glad
you brought that up.
It's because they believe, Bonnie, that the ends justify the means.
Oh, definitely.
And that is the truly dangerous thing. And I don't believe that Jesus ever suggested that the ends justify the means.
Oh, and I don't think Jesus ever intended to build an empire. He was in an occupied land. His people were occupied, and he was giving them a message of hope and love. Yeah. And I just don't believe you were talking about the Calvinist interpretation, too. I don't think Jesus would ever endorse something like that at all.
Right, and that's why I think the Calvinist Church pretty much died out, and now there's the Reformed Church, which is kind of
right.
a whole different animal.
We have a theological seminary in Pittsburgh, the Reformed Presbyterian Church, because I'm pretty sure John Calvin founded the Presbyterian Church, correct?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did. And could you someday get into the Caskey v. Nike case? Because I fear that caveat emptor is more the standard now whenever we go to buy anything.
Sure, sure. Yeah, well, I can give you a riff on it right now since we're here. For those who don't know, and probably most Americans don't, 2 years ago, or perhaps it was 3 years ago, might have even been 4 years ago, I don't recall. It was back right after I wrote Unequal Protection, which is my book about this topic. The Nike Corporation had been had hired a PR firm, or they were doing it internally, I don't recall the details, to get out the message that they were not using sweatshop labor or not using it as much. And there was an activist in California by the name of Mark Caskey who felt that what they were saying was deceptive. And under the California law, it's possible for a citizen of California to sue a corporation on behalf of the attorney general. And then it's sort of a you-can-be-your-own-attorney-general law. Mm-hmm. And so he sued Nike for deceptive advertising practices. And Nike, rather than responding by saying, oh, wait a minute, no, we actually told the truth, here's the proof. Instead of saying that, their response was essentially, and this is clearly not the words that they used, but the essence of it was, we have the right to free speech. And so if I can say to my wife, you know, you look great in that dress, even if I don't think so, then Nike has the right to say that they're not using sweatshop labor when they may be or they may not be. I mean, it wasn't even the merits of the issue. That case, Nike lost that case in the state Supreme Court in California. They lost. And so they took it to the Supreme Court. And all the major media corporations in the United States, the New York Times, CBS, NBC, ABC, you know, Disney, GE, just a compendium of huge corporations wrote amicus briefs, friend of the court briefs, on behalf of Nike, saying corporations have to have free speech. They have to have the right to lie in order to conduct business. And they wouldn't characterize it as the right to lie. I do, but you know, they call it corporate free speech. And interestingly, the Supreme Court very rarely goes through the whole rather lengthy and drawn-out song and dance of hearing the preliminary and reading the preliminary on a case and then saying, yes, we'll put this on the calendar, unless they actually intend to rule on it. It's very, very rare. I mean, you know, we're talking a few times a century that the court will take on a case and then decide not to rule on it after they've heard arguments. But in this case, Jeff Milchen and some David Cobb and some Carl Meyer, the guy that we had on the show yesterday, and others got involved in putting together a brief, a friend of the court brief, an amicus brief, on behalf of Mark Caskey, and saying, you know, hey, wait a minute. The court in 1886, when the head note to the Supreme Court decision, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, the head note says that the court gave corporations the rights of persons and therefore should have access to the First Amendment as well. That didn't actually happen.
Right. And, I'm aware of that.
Right. And Rehnquist, and the whole goal of this, or one of the main goals of this, was to reach Rehnquist, because Rehnquist, in, as I recall, the Boston versus Bilotti case, in his dissent, he dissented in that case, and he said, back in 1886, this court ruled without benefit of public discussion or debate that corporations are persons. And I think that that's wrong, essentially, is what he said. And so we wanted to say to him, no, the court never ruled that. And so, interestingly, the Supreme Court had the hearings. Nike versus Caskey came before them. The case was argued, and then the court inexplicably, never explained why, inexplicably said, we just decided we're not going to touch this. And it bounced back down to the California court, where, of course, Nike had already lost. And so Nike settled out of court with Mark Kasky, gave him some money, which he then gave to a charity. I think it was an anti-sweatshop charity. And, you know, that was the end of the story. The debate about corporate free speech still has not been resolved. And it's still out there. And they still and there are still companies out there that are asserting that they should have free speech rights. And it's and frankly, I'm of the opinion that they shouldn't. But you know, this
right. I'm worried that this attitude, along with many other fights along this front by big corporations, that they can lie to us about the products that they sell, not just for PR purposes. I'm talking about the actual quality of any of their products, and that could maybe hurt us.
Yes,
that's what I'm concerned about.
I agree, and to some extent we're protected by state laws from that, but if they ever got the constitutional right to lie, the absolute First Amendment right of free speech, I think that we could kiss most of those goodbye.
But Bonnie, couldn't we have the right to lie, too?
Well, you do. You have the right to lie. You can walk up to somebody and tell them the wildest story you want. You can't lie if you're under oath.
Libel.
No. Well, if you lie about some, I mean, there are certain limits in the ability to lie. But if you wanted to walk up to somebody and say you just got off a spaceship or you'd just been abducted by aliens or mm-hmm. or hey, I've got the cure for cancer here or whatever, unless you're a business and you're representing yourself as a business, there's been this distinction up until this point between political speech, personal speech, and commercial speech. And as long as you're not engaging in commercial speech and not, you know, there are some boundaries. You're not under oath. You're not speaking to a law officer. You're not testifying before a jury or a grand jury. You can lie to people. I mean, there's nothing illegal about, you know, as I said, saying, hey, that dress looks great on you, that kind of thing. In fact, you know, people tell white lies all the time, routinely. So, and corporations would like to have that right, and I think it's a very dangerous thing. Bonnie, I got to move along.
Thank
you for the call, and thanks for giving me a chance to rant about that. Amy in San Diego wants to pick it up and go one step farther. Hey, Amy.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I am great. What's up?
I went recently. I'm a member of the ACLU, and I knew that.
As am I.
Yeah, Ed, that the ACLU backed Nike in that decision that you're talking about. And
well,
so.
Yes and no. The ACLU of, I believe it was Northern California, backed Nike, and the ACLU of Southern California backed Kasky. There was a split in the two California ACLUs. Nationally, the ACLU, I don't think, took a position. If they did take a position nationally, it was on behalf of Nike. But I think that nationally they didn't. I could be wrong on that.
Oh, okay. Well, because I was recently at a meeting, and I asked the Southern California director was giving a talk, and so I went up to ask him afterwards about that. And he said he didn't know the particulars of that case, but he said, in general, this is how they view it. As long as the United States Supreme Court views corporations as a person, they back anyone's free speech, and you and I have the right to lie, as you were telling the caller earlier.
Right.
He says whenever it resorts in a tort, that's when they would not back a corporation.
Yeah, and see that's,
or anybody else.
That is acknowledging a legal fiction that, in my opinion, doesn't exist.
Yes,
and that is
I totally
person.
Agree with you.
Yeah,
you know, he thought that way too, but he said as long as that is the law, we're going to back anybody's free speech.
Yeah, which is really a shame.
Agree totally.
The American Civil Liberties Union really should be, and you and I both here speaking as members of the ACLU, the ACLU should be defending the rights of Americans. The Constitution of the United States does not open with the words, we the people and the various corporations of America. It starts out with the words, we the people of the United States of America.
Absolutely. Great show, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Amy.
Good okay, bye.
I appreciate it. And this is something that I guarantee is going to be coming back because the Federalist Society is pumping this thing really hard. And of course, you got Alito, who's a member of the Federalist Society. You got Roberts, who's a Federalist Society. The Federalist Society trying to stack our courts. There are workshops as we speak. There are workshops going on all across the United States about how corporations can take advantage of corporate personhood to hide corporate crimes, to influence legislation, to participate as if they were citizens in the dialogue in the United States, and get their voices out there in things that are political. And they can't vote. What are they doing in our politics? 45 minutes past the hour.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Great Lakes experts look at ways to stop invasive species by parting the waters. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The Great Lakes and the Mississippi River have the two largest watersheds on the North American continent, and they're connected to each other by an artificial canal in Chicago. Some people think it might be time to separate the Great Lakes and the Mississippi once again. They're concerned about the way invasive plants and animals can spread from one watershed to the other. The Great Lakes Fishery Trust and the Great Lakes Fishery Commission have launched a major study of the Chicago Canal. Mark Gaden works with the Fishery Commission. He says the study will look at ways to re-engineer the canal to stop foreign plants and animals without stopping waterborne traffic.
The whole goal is to keep invasive species out of the Great Lakes and also to keep invasive species from going from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi. The biological separation study really asks one major question. Are there more things that we can do to eliminate the risk of invasive species while still maintaining the flow of boat traffic on this important waterway?
The problem with foreign organisms moving between the Great Lakes and the Mississippi is very real. The infamous zebra mussel has spread rapidly from the Great Lakes across much of the Mississippi watershed. And today, people are worried about a foreign fish in the Mississippi River that's moving toward the Great Lakes. It's the Asian carp, and it's so big and hungry that people refer to it as an underwater lawnmower. The carp escaped from fish farms in the south, and now it dominates parts of the Mississippi River. If Asian carp ever got through the Chicago Canal, the fish could take over parts of the Great Lakes. The Chicago Canal has been fitted with an electric barrier to stop the Asian carp. Gaden says that's only a first step, and the ongoing study will list other options. It's scheduled for completion this summer. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer. And save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I love leaves in the wind, pictures of my friends, birds of the world, and squirrels. I love coffee in a cup, little fuzzy pups, old TV shows, and snow.
And welcome back, my friends. I love radio, too. I really love this job. Welcome back. 9 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-440-THOM. 440-8466. Our telephone number, Sharon in Bellingham, Washington. Hey, Sharon, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I didn't see it in the theater, but I saw Good Night and Good Luck about Edward R. Murrow and McCarthy last night. And this morning, I have to return it, so I was watching, unfortunately, during part of your show, the companion commentary on the DVD, which wouldn't have been shown in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing.
Is it? I haven't seen it.
It has so much more food for thought about our media and the press and what's going on. And, oh, my gosh, with your other caller, aren't we glad that Joe McCarthy didn't know about RFIDs?
Oh, my.
Oh, my. But this companion piece talks about what the media believed in then and what it's doing now and how much of it's become trash. Mm-hmm. And they interviewed people who were highlighted in the show as working with Murrow. They had Murrow's son on it. Some of the people that were originally involved and stalked by McCarthy. And it's just a very eye-opening piece. I don't usually watch the extra stuff on DVDs, but this is worth it. If people saw it in the theater, I encourage them to go out and get the DVD and watch this companion piece. And it has some very wonderful quotes by Edward R. Murrow,
mm-hmm.
a couple of which were, "No one can terrorize a whole nation unless we are all his accomplices."
Mm.
And "We must not confuse dissent with disloyalty.
Yeah.
When the loyal opposition dies, I think the soul of America dies with it."
Wow, brilliant.
Those are just a couple of the quotes that they type.
Well, Sharon, you've sold me.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It
it's absolutely wonderful.
Great. Thanks for the tip. I appreciate it. And thank you for calling in. And thank you for listening. Philip in Tacoma. Hey, Philip.
Hey, thanks, Tom, for taking my call. I'll make this quick. This Monday, a judge ruled that a convicted felon had the right to vote, even though she only owed $10, you know, because the Constitution guarantees the basic human rights of people to be treated with respect, even if they're convicted criminals. And this is coming to a slow burn up here because there's like 45 to 50,000 felons that may get the right to vote. And my
I'm assuming you're talking about people after they've left jail, after they've paid their debt to society and they're trying to reintegrate into society, as opposed to putting voting machines in the prisons.
Absolutely. If you're in jail, it's a little hard to vote. If you're free walking around, you can walk into a poll and show that you're, you know, who you are and where you live, then you should have the right to vote, along with same-day registration vote, I believe.
Right.
Anyway, my argument is the Eighth Amendment, excessive bail should not be required, nor excessive fine imposed, nor cruel or unusual punishment inflicted. Now, a constitutional, incidentally enough, some Republican running in some obscure county up here called up and said, well, they only use the Eighth Amendment for the death penalty, you know, my constitution question to you, sir, is another argument came up by Siddiqui on the 15th Amendment that says the Constitution cannot bridge between servitude, and the right wing saying, well, that means for slaves, and Siddiqui was like, hey, that means if you've been in prison. Could you clarify, please?
Well, I don't know. I'm not an attorney, Philip, and in terms of the Constitution, it's really quite unclear, which is one of the reasons why you have some states where people who have been convicted of felonies, have served their time in jail, and are now out of jail and have that behind them, and they're trying to rebuild their lives, are allowed to vote. They're allowed to integrate themselves back into society. And you have other states, like Florida, for example, where they're not allowed to vote, period, ever. And you simply lose your right to vote once you commit a felony. End of discussion. And that's something that I think the individuals of each state have to work out. But I'll tell you, the Republicans have this idea, strange idea, and that for some reason a felon vote is going to be a Democratic vote. And there actually may be some truth to that, in that the African-American community tends to vote heavily Democratic, and because our drug laws in the United States are enforced in an extremely racist fashion, drug use in the white community is identical as a percentage. It's identical to in the African-American community. And yet, if you're African-American, you're, as I recall, 5 to 7 times, maybe even worse than that, more likely to be arrested on a drug charge. And so, you know, this large chunk of the African-American community have become felons because of this, and because of this racist, you know, enforcement of these what I think are wrong laws to begin with, and the Republicans would like to keep those people from voting.
Would you say that the cruel it is would be cruel and unusual?
I don't know. You know that that
representation not to have.
You know that's something that ultimately would have to be decided by the Supreme Court. The problem, Philip, is that cruel and unusual is one of those things that every generation decides over and over again what it means. You know, and from state to state and at a federal level as well. And there have been times when we've decided, for example, that it doesn't mean the death penalty or that it does.
Hey, thank you for your time, Tom.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call, Philip. It's just one of those tough ones. It's one of those really tough ones. Interesting, Americans at the tipping point about energy. A new poll out saying more Americans, half of Americans are concerned about energy. Remember this?
The energy crisis is real. It is worldwide. It is a clear and present danger to our nation. These are facts, and we simply must face them. What I have to say to you now about energy is simple and vitally important. Point one. I am tonight setting a clear goal for the energy policy of the United States. Beginning this moment, this nation will never use more foreign oil than we did in 1977. Never.
Yeah, and he put that into place, and the legislation made it through Congress. And then Ronald Reagan came along and said, "Nah, we don't need no stinking energy policy." And here we are. Coming up tomorrow, Congressman Bernie Sanders will be with us, conservative Peter Pitts, Jeffrey Kleinman, that and more, and your calls here on the Tom Hartman program, the Democracy Zone. And remember, my friends, activism begins with you. Democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it